Our Old Testament text, Exodus 21, verses 33 through 36. Hear the word of God. And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. If one man's ox hurts another's so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it. And the dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in time past, and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. The New Testament text this morning from Matthew 5, verses 21 through 26, once again from the Sermon on the Mount, the Word of our Lord. Matthew 5, 21 through 26. Our Lord is teaching, and here's what he says. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny." And thus this reading from God's holy word. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is "To Rescue Me from Danger." Last week's sermon, "The Sanctity of Life," dealt with the sixth commandment duty to prevent harm or injury to an innocent human being. Today's sermon deals with the eighth commandment duty to prevent the destruction of property. Just to get us all on the same page, remember how the sixth commandment is, "Thou shalt not kill." The eighth commandment is very short as well, and it says, "Thou shalt not steal." So last week's sermon had to do with an exposition, an application, a further development of the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." And today's sermon is an explanation and a further development of the eighth commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." Well, the earlier text that we looked at last week spoke of an ox goring a human being to death. Now, if you stop and think about that, that's not a very pleasant thing to think about, thinking of a large animal running toward an innocent person with those sharp horns sticking out and goring that individual to death. But we did learn last week that if this was the very first time that this ever occurred, if there was no warning for it, if the ox never gave any indication that it was a dangerous animal, then the ox was to be put to death. That's a ratification of the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." And even going back beyond that to Genesis 9, where it says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God gave he man." So if the ox took an innocent human life, then the ox was to be put to death, but the owner would be acquitted. It had never happened before, there was no warning for it, and it took everyone by surprise. It was an unfortunate accident. But however, if the ox had a history of goring, if it showed itself to be a dangerous animal, then the owner, both the ox and its owner, would be put to death by execution. If it happened a second time, if this ox had gored a human being in the past, or even gored an animal, and now it gores a human being, then both the ox and its owner would be put to death by execution. And remember that that's the same punishment as the punishment for premeditated murder. The Bible makes a distinction between premeditated murder and manslaughter. They're treated differently. And the key phrase is, if the person that committed the deed did not hate the person in time past in his heart. So there, but here's the same penalty as the penalty for premeditated murder. Well, the bottom line of that text, and also the one today, is the property owner's duty to use his property responsibly. Now, all of us are property owners to one degree or another. We either live in a home that we own the title to, or maybe we rent it, but we all own personal property, and we are all responsible to use our property responsibly, particularly if there is known danger associated with it. And some things that we own are dangerous, are they not? Guns are dangerous, knives are dangerous, fire is dangerous, automobiles are dangerous. Many of the things that we use are indeed dangerous. So the duty then is for the owner to use his property responsibly. We saw this, that if the ox has a tendency to gore and the man knows it, if it's been pointed out to him, you know, that's a dangerous animal, that animal's going to get into trouble someday. Notice how it's behaving out there in the field. If he's been warned about that, if he knows that the ox has a tendency to gore, then he's responsible to keep his dangerous animal tied up and away from people who could be harmed. He's responsible to put up warning signs if necessary and keep children away from the animal if necessary. Because it could be that someone would get harmed. Well, today's text also speaks of an ox. And if you were here last week, perhaps you can see that connection. But here, in the first instance, rather than the ox doing the damage, the ox itself is damaged or killed. In the second instance that we're going to look at this morning, the ox harms another ox and not a human being. So this sermon is going to be, as I said at the very beginning of the sermon, it's going to deal with our eighth commandment duty to prevent the destruction of property. Well, the main point of the laws dealt with in the sermons last week and this week is the idea of responsibility. There's a biblical idea. It's the duty of an owner to be responsible for his property. Though the modern tendency has been for people more and more to see themselves as victims, the idea of personal responsibility still exists even in our law and our legal system, and we should be very thankful for that. People are expected to ensure that their property does not pose a danger to others. That's a biblical idea. Well, let's get right into the text then. And the first point is this: an unsecured danger. An unsecured danger. We read once again in verses 33 and 34, "And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his." By the way, this text speaks of an ox or a donkey. We just read this morning the Ten Commandments. We read them from the old King James Version. And remember how the Tenth Commandment speaks about not coveting your neighbor's ass. And sometimes people are a little bit jarred by that language. They think, well, that's not very... that's not very good language. But did you know that the word donkey that's used in the New King James Version that we're looking at this morning is actually a younger word than our country? Did you know that at the time the old King James Version was translated, there was no word donkey, apparently. The first instance in literature is about from 1785. And so the King James uses the more traditional term, ass. But anyway, here it talks about an ox or a donkey, or in the Old King James, an ox or an ass, and it falls into it. In this instance, a man opens up or digs a pit. Now, there were various reasons why someone might dig a pit. The most common reason in ancient Palestine probably was to dig a cistern, because they had to collect rainwater, and they had to collect it when it was the rainy season, and then when there was a dry season, they would need to use that water. And so this pit may well have been a cistern used to catch rainwater. I remember when I was traveling in Israel back in 1985, I saw a number of cisterns that had been dug next to homes, and then the cistern had been carefully plastered, and they could actually hold rainwater, and some of them were 2,000 years old, and they could still hold rainwater. It's really amazing. But in the case of a homeowner that has a home and he realizes there's valuable water that's falling on my house at different times of the year and I'm going to need that water, I'm going to build myself a cistern. I'm going to dig this pit. Then it says if a man opens a pit, maybe he's going to enlarge an existing cistern, or if he digs a new cistern and he does not cover it then, this is what we're going to be thinking about this morning. So here's a man, an instance of a man opening up or digging a pit, and he doesn't cover it back up. He doesn't put some, whatever the ancient equivalent of plywood was, and covering it up so that no one could be harmed. Well, then along comes an ox or a donkey, and then he falls into that pit. Now, you and I will read this, and I don't know if any of you were raised on farms. I think maybe some of you were. But we read this and I think to myself, well, an ox, a donkey, that's not a very valuable thing to me. I've never owned one. I've never had a desire to buy one. I've never had a need for one. And so we tend to minimize this law. But just think, if you were living in Palestine back at the time that Moses was giving this law, you probably would very much value an ox or a donkey. They don't mean much to city folks, but they're very valuable animals in the agrarian community. They're used as beasts of burden. An ox, as we saw last week, is a castrated bull. It's usually used as a draft animal for plowing. And so if you had an ox, then you were a wealthy person. You could plow more of your land. You could feed your family better. You could probably even have food to sell in the marketplace. You'd be much better off. Well, the donkey is not so much a plowing animal, but it's used for transporting goods. I think even of our Lord's mother riding to Bethlehem on a donkey. Her betrothed husband, Joseph, didn't want her to have to walk those many miles in her pregnant condition. And so she was riding on a donkey. Well, I want to point out here that the ox and the donkey are put here for other animals as well. Any valuable animal falling into a careless owner's unprotected pit would also be considered under this law. A few years ago, a new sanitary sewer line was installed in our neighborhood. This necessitated tearing out our streets and digging a deep ditch where the sewer pipe was to be laid. The trench was about 15 feet deep. And if you stand at the edge of a 15-foot hole and you look down and you're looking at the workmen down at the bottom of the hole putting in the sewer pipe, you can say, that is really deep. And the trench was dug in sections. Every night the contractors either used heavy equipment to fill in the part where they had been working during that day, or they installed an orange plastic fence around the hole that was left in the ground. And I would submit to you that that's in keeping with the law that we have here. The purpose of these safety measures was to keep people or animals from falling into the hole and getting hurt. Now, I can tell you, and I think probably all of you know that, we don't have oxen or donkeys in our neighborhood, but there are people and pets. During the construction project, the streetlights sometimes didn't work. The workers sometimes would dig up the cable for the electricity to the streetlights, and so it was dark in our neighborhood at night. I remember there were weeks when the whole neighborhood was dark. And so it was particularly important at that time that anyone out walking a dog at night, or even a child playing, and yes, sometimes children are let out to play after dark. I know it shouldn't happen, but it does happen. But those orange fences would keep a dog walker or a child from falling into a deep pit and getting hurt. Imagine falling into a 15-foot pit and hitting your head on the sewer pipe at the bottom of the pit. You'd get very, very hurt. Well, our text implies an individual's duty to secure his property so that no one gets hurt. In an ideal world, everybody would obey this law and no one would get hurt. But because of sin, we do not live in an ideal world. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, Paul writes in Romans. Nevertheless, that day is going to come. As Peter teaches, the day is coming when the world as we know it will be destroyed by fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And then he writes in 2 Peter 3, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I would submit to you that in the new heavens and new earth, everyone will be a responsible property owner. And I'm not sure just how, if there's going to be titles to property and buying and selling property in the new heavens and the new earth. I'm not going to get into all that, but everyone is going to be a responsible property owner, and no one is going to get hurt. And that's going to be a glorious day. But that day hasn't come yet. Since we do not live in an ideal world, God in His great wisdom has given these judicial laws. They are essentially instructions to judges to take care that a person who did not exercise all due caution paid his due. Calvin's comment is helpful. Listen to what he says. He says, if a man shall open a pit or cistern and not cover it, and an animal shall fall into it, he is bound to pay its value. And justly, since his carelessness approaches to actual guilt. Here again, he says, we see how God would have all men to be anxious for their neighbor's advantage. Yet inasmuch as there was no fraud or malice in the case, he is permitted, after paying its price, to appropriate the carcass to himself. Now, he says a lot in that particular statement. But here he says, all men ought to look out for their neighbor. We ought to look out for his property. Well, Calvin makes the point that the property owner's carelessness approaches to actual guilt. The man did not intend to harm his neighbor. Perhaps he had other things, maybe very important things, on his mind, which caused him to be negligent. Maybe he had a sick child at home, or some very important company suddenly appeared on his doorstep. He left his work suddenly and didn't take the time to secure it. How often every one of us has been negligent? I'm almost tempted to say, raise your hand if you've been negligent. I think probably almost all the hands would go up. And most often, no one gets hurt, and we later rectify our mistake. For myself, I think of the time that I carelessly left the basement door open. My little boy was sitting in what was called a walker jumper. They were very popular at that time, but they're not used anymore. My story may illustrate why. My son was probably less than a year old. He scooted around in his walker jumper, and he got too close to the basement door. He was too young to know that he was in danger. He was too young to know, you know, I shouldn't get very close to that door. It's a long ways down the basement steps. He didn't know that. I was the one that was supposed to know that. And he suddenly fell down the basement steps. And I'll never forget it. He turned a full somersault on the way down. Miraculously, the walker jumper landed upright on the concrete floor, and my child was unharmed. I had been negligent, but fortunately no harm resulted. But what if it had been a neighbor's kid, and he had suffered a concussion? That thought often kept me up at night. Thank God that in His providence, negligence does not always result in harm, but sometimes it does. And God's law gives instructions as to how to justly handle it. I think of the heart-wrenching stories that I've heard of parents who accidentally run over a child while backing up their car in the driveway. Now, backing up a car is something most of us do every day. Sometimes we get in a hurry, don't we? Sometimes we're not as careful as we ought to be. Usually, nothing goes wrong. But sometimes it does. And we're glad that God has put such practical instruction in His Word. Our text says that if a person is negligent and causes harm to another person's animal, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. The property owner was guilty of carelessness, and so he's ordered to make restitution. He has to pay the value of a live animal, and that could be very valuable. I'm sure an ox, even today, is a very valuable animal. But once he does that, then it says that the dead animal becomes his own to do with as he wishes. Perhaps it can be cut up and sold for animal feed. Perhaps the hide can be tanned and used as leather. There are probably other uses as well. The point is that God's law gives very sober and practical instructions to judges. But is there not an application to modern life as well? What if a motorist parks his car on a hill and forgets to set his emergency brake and steer his wheels toward the curb? After he leaves his vehicle, it rolls forward and strikes another vehicle. There's no loss of human life, but there is property damage. In such a case, a judge may be called upon to order appropriate compensation. Our text gives wise guidance applicable to many situations that we face. Secondly, consider with me this morning an unpredictable animal. An unpredictable animal. Verse 35, if one man's ox hurts another's so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. Well, if one man's ox should be killed by another's ox, then God gives us a most just appointment here in His Word. That if it happened unexpectedly, by sudden accident, then the two parties would divide the dead ox between them. And having sold the other, the live ox, each should take half the price. In this particular case, both parties bore an equal amount of damage. The accident was unforeseen, and it was also unfortunate. Responsibility for such eventualities is part of living in a fallen world. And so we drive our automobiles, for instance, and we know that there is the possibility that there's another motorist out there that is breaking the law, that is driving without insurance, and that individual could hit us. And we could be responsible or partly responsible for the damage that could be born. But responsibility for such eventualities is part of living in a fallen world. And parents want to teach their children these things. Not everything that happens in a fallen world is fair. Sometimes we get hurt. This is as a result of sin. But someday, God is going to right all wrongs. And someday, there's going to be that perfect new heavens and new earth. Well, what is understood in this text is that this event was totally a surprise to the owner. His animal had not been dangerous in the past. And there's always the element of unpredictability with animals. Well, for that matter, there's always the element of unpredictability with any human being. A parent has a child. We have great hopes for that child. Sometimes that child grows up to make us proud. But then sometimes the child grows up to make us very, very unhappy. Well, there's the element of unpredictability with animals. I remember years ago, a child got too close to a dog. This was a dog that was generally gentle. But in this particular case, the dog was eating its food. He snapped at the child, causing an injury that required stitches. The dog owner had no idea that his dog was dangerous. But from that time forward, he kept that dog away from children. And he was right to do that. His insurance company also compensated the child's family. A wise dog owner whose dog has once bitten someone else does well to keep it penned in or even to get rid of it. And if he gives it to someone else, then it is his responsibility to inform the prospective owner of its nature. Listen, I want you to know, this dog snapped at a child one time. It could be dangerous. Watch it. Take care of it. To sell such an animal or to give such an animal to someone without informing him of that pertinent fact would be criminal. Well, this brings us then to point three. Point three is a vicious animal, a vicious animal. It says in verse 36, "Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in time past, and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox." That's reminiscent of the phrase that we had up in the middle of the chapter where it talked about life for life and tooth for tooth and eye for eye. Here it's, "He shall pay ox for ox," it says, "and the dead animal shall be his own." Here we find that if the ox had been known to be vicious before and had not been kept penned in, carefully secured by its owner, the owner was to compensate the owner of the one that had been killed with the full value of an ox. But then he would receive the dead one in its place. That would be his. He could do with it as he pleased. It wasn't of too much value for plowing, but there still may be some residual value in the carcass. If the ox was a savage one, then its owner should undergo a greater penalty by paying its full price. Here then the owner would give to the owner of the ox who had been killed, he would give the value of a live ox, not the value of a dead ox. He ought to have anticipated that this accident could possibly happen. He hadn't been as kind to his neighbor as he should have been. And he had given occasion to the injury. Well, in all of these things, dear brothers and sisters, we rise to honor God who has given us such wise laws. As the psalmist said, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them." Psalm 119, 127 through 129. As we close this morning, think of point four. This is the greatest danger of all. The greatest danger of all. If God cares so much about property, if God cares so much about violations of the eighth commandment, then surely he cares about life more. Under our system of law, we understand that governments are set up to preserve life and liberty and property. Or as our Declaration of Independence puts it, life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But here we can see God doesn't just care about life. He cares about oxen. He cares about donkeys. He cares about people's possessions. I think of 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9, where it says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." Doth God take care for oxen? It says. It's a rhetorical question, and the answer is yes, he cares for oxen. He made them. They're his creatures. He takes care for people's property. But if he takes care for people's property, then he takes care for people's lives even more. Turn with me once again to our New Testament text, Matthew 5. Again, this is in the Sermon on the Mount. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the lawgiver now come in human flesh and telling the divine interpretation of these Old Testament laws. Notice how it says in verse 21, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Then in verse 22, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, and one of the Bible versions gives a helpful little note there. It says, an Aramaic term of contempt. I don't know exactly what it meant, but it was an Aramaic term of contempt. It was showing disregard for another human being. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Notice four times he uses that phrase, in danger. And the last one it says, whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. The word for danger in the Greek literally means to be held in anything so that one cannot escape. Held in so that one cannot escape. For the sinner, there is no escaping hellfire. The penalty will be meted out either upon the sinner himself or upon his substitute, Jesus Christ. The same word is used in Mark 3:29, where our Lord says, he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. As we noted last week, every fallen son of Adam is in danger of hellfire and damnation. Now, some people like to caricature Bible-believing churches, and they like to say, well, here are places where the preacher is always talking about hellfire and damnation. Well, I don't know if I've ever used those words in quite the same way in a sermon in here before, but I'm using them today. And I'm pointing out that these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of us, because we have sinned, every single one of us is in danger of hellfire and damnation. There's no escaping it. We're held in so that we cannot escape. The greatest danger of all is the danger of hellfire and damnation. It's far worse to go to hell than to lose a child to a serious accident. It's far worse to go to hell than to lose a favorite possession to an accident. This is indeed the greatest danger of all. In just a few moments, we're going to sing from a hymn that has a biblical thought. It was written back in 1758, and it contains these words, which we're going to sing in just a moment. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Here God is like the property owner. There's a pit that has been dug, and he wants to put a fence around it. He wants to cover it over. This is the pit of hell. This is what all of us deserve. We're in danger of falling into it and never being able to get out. But he sent his Son to rescue us from that greatest danger of all. And he interposed his precious blood. He died on the cross so that we who look to him in true faith would not fall into that pit, but would have eternal life. That is indeed the greatest danger of all. Brothers and sisters, let's learn from these laws that we've looked at this morning. Let's understand the relationships that we have as individuals who are also property owners. And sometimes we get into difficulties with another property owner and we need to have guidance and counsel to resolve those issues, and we have plenty of guidance and counsel right in these texts that we've looked at this morning. But let's remember also that every one of us is in danger of falling into a far deeper pit than a 15-foot trench in front of your house with a sewer pipe being installed at the bottom of it. That is in danger of the fires of hell. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He endured our punishment so that we, looking to Him, would not receive that punishment, but would receive something that we did not even deserve, and that is eternal life as a free gift. Praise His holy name. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You sent Your Son who, to rescue us from danger, interposed His precious blood. Lord, we do thank You for the responsible property owner that puts a fence around the hole that he's dug. And we thank You even more for Yourself who has put a fence around the fires of hell, and that fence is the gospel. Thank You that our Lord Jesus Christ died to protect us from falling into the pit of hell. And thank You, Lord, that He gives us His perfect righteousness and enables us to have eternal life. Thank You that He does this as a free gift. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.